Welcome to The Summit, a podcast focused on bringing you the knowledge and insights for industry leaders. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer, and I'm on a mission to help you exceed your potential. As a sales guy turned marketer, I am passionate about building sustainable businesses. And if there's one thing I've learned in my 20-year career, it's that you won't find an overnight growth scheme, a shortcut to success, or a way to hack yourself to the top. Nope. Success is the byproduct of hard work, great relationships, and deep understanding done over and over. We're here to help you unlock that success with some secrets from other people, one conversation at a time.
Welcome to The Summit. Today, my guest is Darius Tan, internet marketer extraordinaire, social media expert, and, you know, he won't call himself this, but I will. We're going to dub him DT. DT is in the house. For me, that's like, it brings back 90s version of Derek Thomas for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's got the same kind of feel and spin as Gary V. But we're really excited to have you here and get into our topic today, Darius, which is social media, how to take over the world by storm. And, you know, before we do that, though, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, great. Thanks for the introduction. I guess people are going to start calling me DT from now onwards. But basically, how I started, just a very short introduction. How I started was I came from Twitter. I was just fumbling around on Twitter, and then I somehow grew a community of, right now I grew over about 70k, 80k, reaching about there. And then after I experienced such success on Twitter, I went on to Instagram, which I flopped horribly on there. But after learning some tips and tricks and tons of mistakes and spending over five figures, like testing out different things and making tons of mistakes, I was able to grow a following about, right now we hit, we got about 180k about there. But I can't remember. I don't really go by the vanity metrics. People just like to know the numbers, so I give the numbers. But I still do believe that, you know, followers don't really mean much unless they're able to make something out of it.
Cool. Well, welcome to the show. It was fun when you and I were doing our pre-call and we were chatting here. You had some pretty great stories about how you got started. So you touched on it briefly about, hey, I got to 70 or 80K in Twitter followers. Tell us how you got started in this world of social media marketing and how you became an expert with millions of followers across multiple channels. Like, what actually got this started?
Okay, great. I'll be dropping some value bombs as well. So for those who are listening, you better take some notes. So I think one thing is very important for you to understand is at the start, right, is that every master was once a student, and every student was once a disaster. Okay, so if you read the equation, every master was once a disaster. Okay, I did not magically become like, oh, some social media expert and like, wow, I got huge community, people getting leads, getting buyers and things like that. No, it's never sunshine and rainbows when you start. In fact, that's probably what most of the people want to have. People be like, oh man, like just in a few months, I'll probably blow up like maybe like Nas Daily or maybe like Jay Shetty and become one of the top in the industry. But the reality is most likely you're just going to grow very humbly and start out from a very humble place. So for me, I started out my whole journey because back then I was doing a lot of life coaching, right? So I was doing life coaching and things like that. So I thought, you know, I want to impact the lives of more people. And in fact, because I'm all the way from Singapore, we have like compulsory national service. Basically, everyone has to serve the military. Okay, for as long as you reach a certain age, you gotta serve the military. So while I was in the military, it's kind of like a 9-to-5 job, just that it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's like a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. kind of job, right? And I thought like, okay, man, I want to do something else and impact more people, right? Because I have no choice but to serve 2 years in the military. I don't have any way out of it. So what happened was I thought, you know, might as well just use some platform and use a platform to talk to more people, to connect with more people, and maybe I'm able to impact more people. Now, here's one of the huge problems that you guys should take note. First, rookie mistake that you should never ever make, okay? Do not start when you don't have an end in mind. Okay, when I started this whole thing, my whole thing was just like, oh, you know, I think I just go onto like Twitter and then I'll connect with some people and maybe I'll help some people and coach them, right? And then I had no plans of monetizing, no plans of building a community or doing whatsoever. Okay, and that's a huge mistake. And then you'll understand why later. So I started going on Twitter, and you know, Gary V has this 9 p.m. I think he did 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. He has this strategy from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. when he first started out. And if you know, most of the time when most influencers started out, maybe it's from Facebook or Instagram or a much more known social media. But Gary Vee started at like the Twitter side. So I went onto Twitter. He did from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. He tweeted out to everyone that was related to his niche, right? So wine, or like some business thing. He'll basically search on the search bar or search through hashtags, right? And then whoever that used that word or the hashtag, he'll basically add like a 2 cents thoughts to his tweet, right? And then just add some value, and maybe if he can help them solve their problem, he'll gain a business opportunity from there. So essentially, I did the same thing, just that I had no end in mind. Okay, I went onto it and just like, you know what? I'm just going to be like a motivational speaker. I'm just going to go on and then I'm going to tweet some motivational stuff. And I'm not very proud of doing this, but I tweet like motivational quotes back then. And it's like the only thing I did was to tweet motivational quotes. Now, there's nothing wrong with tweeting motivational quotes, but is that really the best value you can give to your audience? Okay, but that's essentially what I did, which was to tweet motivational quotes. And then I searched. I did the Gary Vee strategy, just that I didn't have that much time because I had like the bunkers went lights out at like 12 a.m. or 11 p.m. So pretty much from like 9 p.m. all the way to like 12 a.m. usually it's around there, about 3 hours of my time I'll actually take up, and then I'll just start tweeting. So I'll spend a few hours on Twitter just tweeting at people and helping them solve their problems or any queries that they have, and usually due to personal development kind of things. So if you're asking what do I actually search, right? Let's say for your business, right? Let's just take in context of what I did. What I did was I just searched people, you know, who have anxiety, right? Because these are probably people who need more like support, need coaching and things like that. Anxiety was one of the keywords. One of it is also like coaching. Maybe some people are actively searching for coaches, right? Some of them also use the word life advice, right? Or personal development, self-growth, right? These are keywords that I get very, I'm very familiar with, right? Because I've been searching over and over again, right? Obviously, now I don't really do life coach, right? But for business owners, if you want to start by using Twitter, start by using keywords that your audience is using. Now, what I don't want you to do right now is to think like, oh, okay, what keywords do my audience use? No, do not assume whatever keywords that your audience is using. Because most of the time when you assume what your audience is doing, it's probably the opposite effect. It's probably the huge opposite effect. Okay, so always find the words that your audience is using. And how do you go about that? Do not assume. Do not think about it. Do not self-masturbate to like, oh, yes, my idea is great. My keyword is great. No, don't do that. Go and follow the target audience that you want. And when you follow your target audience, you understand what kind of words that they use. And in fact, the world greatest copywriters, in fact, they use words that their audience use. They don't come up with like, sure, they are world greatest copywriters. They are damn great at copy. They are damn good at words. But their best copies come from using the words that their audience use. Because that's when you're able to directly identify the pain, to identify and relate to the whole to their whole audience as well. So that's how I really started on Twitter. Just tweeting motivational quotes on my feed. And then connecting with a ton of people. Right now, if you go to my Twitter, it looks like I'm not connecting much with people, right? But if you really were to scroll back, which don't, because don't waste your time doing it. But if you really were to scroll back all the way, I was connecting and connecting and connecting over and over and over again. And that was when I was able to build like this pretty huge community before I started to jump over onto Instagram. And I was growing about like 3K, 4K organically on Twitter. And so one main thing which I think you should focus on Twitter is not just on content. Twitter is excellent when it comes to communication. In fact, I'll say Twitter is even more excellent than Instagram. Why? Every time someone tweets, right? It's like you can freely just follow up with the tweet, right? You can't really follow up with Instagram comments. It's a bit weird because everyone else is watching you having this connection. It's like this public display of connection. But on Twitter, you can just tweet after one person tweet and, you know, it creates one whole thread. And you're able to tweet to anyone very freely and very openly, much more openly than Instagram itself. So on Twitter, the way to growing it is really to communicate with your audience and to connect with them. I kid not. Do not go into the fail and think like, oh, I'm the authority, I'm the expert, you know, I shouldn't connect with people because I'm so good, you know, all these people should be coming to me to learn instead of me connecting to them. No, you're going to start from somewhere, right? And maybe even if you're a millionaire or whatever it is, I don't really care. right? If you're on social media, attention is currency. And if right now, if you're a millionaire and you got like 10 followers or you don't have a community, start from the ground up, right? Like how you start out your own business before you even reach seven figures, what you have to do, you have to go through all the shit and get your hands dirty, right? Same thing on social media. Don't find the easy way out. And I'll discuss more about how the easy way out actually affects a lot when it comes to your whole community building on Instagram, especially.
Well, look, and you touch on a couple of things here that I think is interesting, Darius, because for somebody who's, I'll say older generation, for me, I've never really fully appreciated. I know that there's a lot of power inside of Twitter, but I haven't really figured out how to communicate with people in 140 words or less, or even to string together ideas to create that sense of relationship. What are some of the things that if you're just starting in Twitter or you're looking for those keywords, what are the things that you, like, how do you start? Like, where do you even begin? Because when you started with motivational quotes, right? So it's like, do or do not, but do not try, quoting Yoda. I mean, whatever it was that you did, right? Like you had a certain strategy, but then eventually it led into connection, which is what, I mean, really he's talking about connection. How did you create those connections with 140 characters?
Okay, in fact, right, I would say that, you know, motivational quotes is just one thing. In fact, I've seen people who are direct marketers, in fact, agency owners who does pretty well on Twitter itself, and when I went to DM them, they get quite a huge number of sales. In fact, I'll say majority of their sales from Twitter. So I was like, wow, this thing has power, right? So I know there's a character limit on Twitter. So step one, right, is when you're creating content, make it into sizable bite chunk content. Let's say, right, if you're not in a motivation, like you're in a business, you're in marketing, whatever it is, you can drop one marketing tip. It probably won't cost you like so many words, right? Maybe one marketing tip is like about, let's say, oh, right now, just nice. I have this book, a very classic book, right? Positioning, right? If I talk about positioning and I say that, you know, positioning is not positioning in towards, not positioning yourself to how you want yourself to think, but how you want your customers to think. And that's one tweet itself, really. Right? And for all those business owners, you'll be like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's a good reminder that, you know, positioning is not about me, but it's about my customer's mind and whatever that my customer is thinking of. So that's just one very small example of what tweet can do. So that's step one. Okay, step two is when you're searching, right, when you're making connections with these people that you want to work with. Let's say if you're doing B2B on Twitter, obviously what you want to be doing is just, it's actually, honestly, when it comes to B2B, it's a lot easier than it is to B2C. Because here's the truth, when it's B2B, they'll be using very heavily focused and very word-centric, keyword-centric tweets that they'll be tweeting out, right? For agency owners, they'll probably be tweeting out some social media marketing and things like that. If let's say you're targeting, you want to work more with like agencies and things like that, you use those keywords that they usually use, social media marketing, direct response marketing. You'll be able to find a lot of these business owners instantly. But when it comes to consumer, now that's the hard part. If for B2B, it's a lot easier because the keywords, that's all they're tweeting about. They're tweeting all the keywords. Okay, but for the B2C, it's a bit harder to understand because you got to follow them and then you have to search through sometimes, you know, as a customer, as an audience, in fact, when you are targeting B2C, they can just be tweeting like their daily thoughts, right? Maybe they're sitting on a toilet bowl and they're tweeting some daily thoughts, which is actually very hard to discern out what exactly is the keyword that they're talking about, right? But for businesses, it's a lot easier. If I'm not wrong, the people who are listening to the podcast, are they more targeting B2B or are they targeting B2C? They don't know which one to focus on.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters because at least in my perspective, it's human to human, right? So when you're marketing and you're reaching out and you're having these interactions, that there's a person behind the social media account. There's a person behind that particular post. You're not marketing to the business because it's not like the business posted or is monitoring. It's a human behind that. So talk a little bit more about the human element in creating empathy in that connection. Because I understand that, you know, it might be easier to profile keywords in B2B. But if somebody says, oh, hire me as a social media marketing agency or whatever, I'm probably not going to tweet at them something that's going to be conversational.
So here's the thing. I think a lot of people misunderstand that, you know, yes, Twitter does definitely have quite a lot of noise in it, and in fact it's one of the limitations of Twitter, but Twitter, what's really excellent about Twitter is that there are tons and tons of other people tweeting. While there are noise, there are also people who are tweeting genuine and meaningful stuff. So let's say for me right now, if I want to connect with someone who is looking to maybe grow a community on Twitter or grow a community on Instagram, probably one of the keywords I can search, you know, is Twitter, literally the word Twitter. But I'll probably have sieved through some of the complaints, right? People will be like, oh, Twitter sucks and things like these are people who are not, definitely not in my audience. And maybe if I want to be even more specific, right? Twitter growth and things like. So what I'll do, right? Usually people who talk about Twitter growth, they'll be like, oh, you know, maybe the Twitter algorithm has changed and this is what's happening. Instantly, what I'll do is like, I'll add in whatever my opinion of it was. And I think you don't have to go in a very systemized way. I do not have like a structure or format where I tell people like, okay, guys, use this structure, like, hey, this, I am looking. No, you don't have to, right? Instantly, as a human, when you talk to someone else, let's say if someone has an opinion to share, right? They're talking about, you know, oh, the Twitter algorithm has changed and this and that and this. And then I'll be like saying, hey, you know what? That's actually kind of true. Like, I realized that this is what really changed on my site for my Twitter profile itself. So genuinely connect with people. I think one of the misunderstandings on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever social media platform, people think like it's a bit weird or awkward to connect with people. But in fact, they're just connecting with people the same way they connect in real life. It's just that I think people have that mental barrier that, oh, you know, on social media, maybe other people are seeing and I want to portray my best image, right? And then the more you try to portray your best image, the worse it actually, or the more awkward it actually sounds. Because I've seen people tweet things and then someone follow up like, hey, you know, and you know, it's very awkward because they're like, I don't know whether they want to lead into a sale or whatever it is, right? They go in and they go like, hey, you know what I think you said, what you said was pretty true. You know, if you're looking for this, maybe I can help you with this. Then it's a bit weird because you go in with the frame of mind while other people are just talking. It's like, can you imagine someone is just talking about their daily livelihood and some salesman come in and like, hey, you want to buy this service or product? It's so off. You don't do that in real life. So you don't do that on social media. You start off with, you know, Gary always says, jab, 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 hook, right? You start off with giving value, right? Or in fact, I won't even say give value. Instead, in fact, I'll just say, why don't you just share what your opinion is? Right? I think if so many people are so caught up with the word value and people come to them, oh, I must force myself to give value, why not give your opinion? Because most of the time, your opinion has value. It's just that you keep overthinking of like, oh, value, value, value. How do I give more value, value, value? Just start off with your opinion. Because most of the time, your opinion matters. And your opinion will value add the conversation. Like how right now you, Carl, right, you are asking questions, right, and you are value adding to the conversation. Right, but too many people think that, oh, you know, if asking a question probably doesn't value add, right, or doing this does not value add. And we start to like penalize ourselves, or we start to like shift down onto the micro details and really micro analyze ourselves, like, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't use this word, I shouldn't use this word. No, just be who you are on social media, like who you are in real life. Because I always tell this to my clients or to my students that come through my masterclass. It's the fact that 25% of the people, studies have shown that 25% of the people that you meet in life will never ever like you. So what's the point of creating a fake persona or trying to be your best self in order to make people like you? Because the truth is 25% of the people are still not going to like you. Right, they're probably gonna be like, oh wow, that's such a fake persona and things like that. So why bother pleasing the 25% of the people? Because they're doing such a huge disservice to the other 75% of people who are following you because they probably want your content, they probably like you, they probably want to hear more of your thoughts. Right, stop doing a huge disservice to the 75%. Focus on the people that you can actually serve rather than the people on the 25% of like, oh, I want to keep that perfect avatar. And talking about perfect persona and perfect avatar, the reason why I hate it is because of this. If you think about back in your school days, right? I mean, everyone has probably gone through school. Like, can you remember that kid in class who always say like, oh, I didn't study for my test, I didn't study for my exams. And then when the results comes out, damn, you look at it and he's like at the top of class and you go like, what the hell? Seriously, right? And here's the thing, you will never ever be able to relate to the kid, right? And you probably don't really like the kid because you think he's like a bit snobby. This is the exact same thing that people are going for. People think like, oh, I want to keep myself perfect. I want to act like, I want to be like the best person, seen as in the best possible light, and be like very perfect when it comes to value, adding comments, opinions, everything, be super perfect. Yeah, being that kid back in class, I kid you not. Like, people won't be able to relate because you're so perfect. right, when you don't have any mistakes, you don't have any vulnerabilities, you don't have anything ongoing with your life other than like your perfect quotes, your perfect business advice that will never ever go wrong, you're just going to be like kid in the class. People won't be able to relate to you. And that's the number one essence when it comes to building a community. People have to relate to you. If people realize that, hey, I don't really understand where this guy's going. Like, I think his quotes are pretty good, right? Darius' quotes are pretty good. You know, his podcast is also pretty good, but I don't really relate to him. And if they don't relate to me, I won't have a person coming back to me. They'll just, for what they'll know me as is like, oh, that's a really good advice guy. They won't know me as like, oh, I really love Darius and like his opinions are really great on this matter. Do you realize the difference? Like how much of a difference it is, right? When you compare a perfect person, like that kid in class, you'll be like, oh, he's very smart. That's all you have to say. You'll say like, oh, he's really smart. He's quite intellectual. That's it. You don't really have, and compared to a friend which goes like, hey, you know, this guy, he's not very smart, right? He makes mistakes, but this guy is damn freaking hardworking. This, like, I totally understand where he's coming from. Right, that's a huge difference. But a lot of people are trying to achieve that perfect persona on social media, trying to add value to the maximum possibility and micro-analyze everything that they do. Don't. Just be yourself. Be authentic, because 25% of the people are still not going to like you. You're going to walk on the streets today, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, every 1 out of 4 people will not going to like you. What's the point? Well, you might as well be polarizing and be yourself.
No, and I think that's really valuable. And it's also why, you know, when you said, you know, B2B, B2C, I don't think it matters, because again, it's still human to human, right? So when I'm marketing or I'm selling or I'm communicating as a person. People don't buy things from corporations. I don't buy things from Nike per se. I buy it from the person that Nike's got the product on, or I buy it from the sales rep that I really like at Nike, or you know, if there's somebody that I buy a masterclass from, I buy it because I identify with what they're sharing and how I can engage with them. And so when you think about social media and some people are always worried about, oh, do I get a big following? How do I get a big following? I think at least what I've heard you say, Darius, is that you don't grow a big following by going out there and blasting a bunch of just platitudes in this perfect image. Not all of us can be Kim Kardashian or, you know, Kanye West or some of these big celebrities that have a certain image. Like there's this softer underbelly of the human spirit that we have to be flawed. We have to be imperfect. We have to show that, you know, our perfect self is actually imperfect, and that it starts with the connection. I think the thing that you said there that was really, really interesting to me early on in that I said, well, how do you even do it? You said, well, you know, you just be authentic, provide value. But I think it starts with connection, right? It's asking a question, sharing an antidote, providing empathy, like a relationship, regardless of where it starts, whether it's on social media or in real life, doesn't start with you walking up to somebody and being like, hey, fall in love with me because I'm awesome. Like that's not how it works, right? Like it starts from this perspective of I had something snarky to say and they thought it was funny, or I tripped and fell and I hit my head and they came over and showed me compassion and so we struck up a conversation. And so there's always these human moments that happen. And I think it's really interesting to hear you talk about, as somebody who's got a huge following, building that community intentionally, one person at a time, and doing it without it becoming, you know, perfect, like not having to be perfect all the time. So that's, I appreciate that insight. Now you talk a little bit about transitioning from Twitter to Instagram. Tell me what the transition was like and tell me like what made you move from one to the next.
So that's always a very interesting story. Like what I said, right? I did not have an end in mind. So it's a continuation story. I did not have an end in mind. I was pretty darn bad at Instagram, in fact. So I did not have any in mind. I thought, you know, I've been posting motivational quotes on Twitter, right? And I've been just posting whatever my thoughts are. But I was thinking, okay, if I were to take this onto Instagram, it'll probably work very well. Because, I mean, the audience on Twitter, like, pretty much fancied whatever I was posting. So I thought, maybe this will work on Instagram. And as you know, it was a huge flop. Because, and that's why they always say that you should never ever do the same thing from one platform to another platform, because your audience is totally different. Do not ever expect yourself, right, that let's say if Carl follows me on Twitter,
do not ever expect him to be the same as him following me on Instagram. In fact, if you realize that we go out to Twitter, we're looking for different things from Instagram. Okay, and I think this will be a good marketing and insight for you and for the viewers as well. On Twitter, in fact, I was talking to one of the very well-known social media marketers as well, who has served Fortune 50 companies. I was just discussing with him about the whole state of social media. So we realized that Twitter actually generates the most amount of traffic and leads for us. I kid you not. It generates more than Facebook, than Instagram, than Pinterest. If I can combine all of it together, it probably still can beat Twitter. It's very interesting. And in fact, Twitter has lesser following than my Instagram now. Right. So where was I about? So as I was going back onto the whole point of Twitter, right? Twitter is a lot about connections, a lot about building connections. And people are going onto Twitter searching for information. Instagram, people are going to get their daily dose of, hey, what's happening in another person's life? What's happening in his life, in her life? Maybe people can argue and say, hey, isn't Twitter the same thing? Right, but do you realize that Twitter has a lot more articles? Do you realize where you get a lot of your news from? Right, you look at how Donald Trump trends. Where does he trend on? He trends on Twitter. Right. Politics is a huge part when it comes to
Twitter. Yeah, and I think there's something really interesting that you said earlier, because you brought up Trump. You said using the words that your audience uses or that your people use. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, for good or for bad, whether you like Trump or you hate Trump, doesn't really matter. He's really, really good at using words that a lot of people can identify with and get behind. They understand what he's saying, versus if I was watching, somebody that was maybe from Harvard Business Review or from another Twitter account, or getting my news from something that was a bit more highbrow, it may not be relatable. And I had a person that I was talking with the other day, and they used the word colloquial in conversation. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? Well, come to find out, it means casual conversation. And, I was like, oh, well, gosh, why didn't you just say it's the actual sentence this person used was, I feel like what you're saying is a bit colloquial. And I was like, okay. And so when I went back and I looked at it, why didn't you just say it was too casual? Like, I want something a bit more whatever. And it's like wasted words. It alienates your audience. And to your point of, Trump, he leverages Twitter in words that people can digest. So when you look at how people communicate and engage on Twitter, talk to us about how people communicate and engage on Instagram, because it's a totally different platform, right?
Yes, definitely. And let me end off continue from what you were saying. In fact, Trump is also another good example of, 25% of people in the world will never like you. He doesn't even need to have 25%. He can have 40% of people in his country not like him. He'll still win the election. So there's no point in it, guys. That's not how you understand the whole power of authenticity and being.
Yep, that's a really good point.
So moving on, back to the Twitter and Instagram, right? So Twitter itself, people are always looking for information. They're looking for news, they're looking for articles. And that's why most of my views on my articles. Where we publish social media articles every week, right? And my podcast, most of the downloads actually come from Twitter. And here's the thing, I have a dedicated Twitter page for my podcast, Live Your Legacy, and also the same for my Instagram. Now let's move on to Instagram. On Instagram, I'll probably have 10 times lesser traffic, even though there's more followers and more people on Instagram that's following my podcast page. Now, going on to Instagram, what people actually want is they're kind of they want to get updated onto the lives of others. So they're constantly going on to look at the other people's picture, right? Is it Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, or whatever it is, right? They're looking at pictures in order to update what is happening. So on Instagram, when people are going on to Instagram, the only thing I can say is if you are a business and you want to try on Instagram, the only proven way to go about it, and I'll say really is only, I've never seen anyone else who do it a different way. But you can go full on entertainment, right? But then that really pushes out a lot of the business aspects of what you're doing, right? Unless you're selling an entertainment product or service, then you're still going. But if you're a business, you must always be selling edutainment. It's always education and entertainment at the same time, right? I think that's why I'm not going to talk about TikTok, but just to put in the element of Instagram Reels. the whole reason why Instagram Reels and why Instagram even incorporated is not just because TikTok is booming and like we should stop TikTok from taking over us and world domination of kids on it. No, it's not. Because Instagram Reels is that powerful and TikTok is really that powerful because it combines the whole element of education and entertainment. Right? If you have 15 seconds short of like dancing or like, you know, pointing like to different things and then the words start appearing, it's informational and it's also, it catches your eye. It goes like, oh wow, this interesting form of delivering. So on Instagram, what people really are looking for is the different ways of delivering whatever content that you're having. People don't like to see the reason why. Now I'll tell you why, the whole reason why motivational posts doesn't work. Because it's one form of delivering. Do you understand? Like there's only one medium, one mode of delivering the kind of content I want, which is just posting a picture of a quote. It's not about a picture, it's posting words, right? And that's the only thing that I post to my audience. And if you're constantly posting that, right? And you are posting pseudo quotes, things from like maybe you take one from Nelson Mandela, you take one from like Tony Robbins, you take from everywhere. And then you're just known as like some quote guy. And there's tons of other people who are doing that. Right. And then people might start to come and argue with me, like, hey, wait. But if you go to like Brandon Burchard's account, right? Brandon Burchard, second highest paid peak performance coach in the world. Right. His whole page is filled with a lot of quotes. Now that's a different thing. Now, the reason why Brandon Burchard can actually establish himself as like quotes is because those are his own original quotes. Every single quote they come up with is his own. And if you realize, he does not just only post about quotes. He does post videos as well. He does post stories about his life and things like that. So you'll never ever see one account or one thought leader in the industry that pretty much just posts everything about quotes. No one. No one will ever just post quotes. Because why? As a follower, you get freaking bored every single day. The reason why Kim Kardashian, why Kanye West, or people who are top 10 people who have the most number of followers, the reason why they got so many followers and people constantly talk about them is because every single day they're posting different things. They're posting different things. You don't see like Jay Shetty or like Tony Robbins every single day they're posting a quote. They don't. Because if you really want to interact, you want your followers to keep up with you, you got to show different elements. You got to go through different mediums. Now, so on Instagram, this is how you really want to fully utilize. I'm dropping some tips over here. First one is IGTV, right? Especially those in the US or Europeans or whichever country that Reels are available to. It's not available in my country, which is a shame because I would really, 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 really want to get on board with it. It's a super creative tool, right? In fact.
How would you use it?
Okay.
You got really excited about it, which is great. So tell me how would you use it, Darius Tan, for
okay, great.
For promoting your masterclass and.
I got a few ideas actually. In fact, so if you want to steal my ideas, go ahead. Yeah, I don't really care because I got tons of other ideas I've already come up with. Right. In fact, I highly appreciate it if you actually do this, and if it works well, please tag me on like my social. You can find me at Darius THW. Okay, and so. I got a few examples of doing this. So one thing I can probably do, right, is I'll say like 5 tips on, let's say, okay, this is in my context. Okay, this is in my context. So one idea is like, I'm going to go 5 tips on how you can grow your first 10,000 followers, or 5 tips on how you can blah, 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 blah. 5 tips on how you can get more sales on Instagram. And then first thing, and you know what I'll do? I'll still really go with like, let's say my first tip, right? If my first tip is like, first thing, give value. Right, and probably what I'll do is act out giving value. Now, I'm not talking about the cringy way of like acting out in front of the camera. No, what I'm saying is like, you know, I'm actually gonna like take like some, I'm probably gonna take a book or like, I'm gonna take a pile of books and then I'm gonna give it to someone else. I'm gonna film it, right? And then like first one, give value. And the second one, right, stay connected. Like stay connected. Maybe I can get someone else to be with me and then I'll just look the other person straight in the eyes. Right, and if you're asking me like where does Davis come up with these ideas, in fact, I'm actually coming out on the spot. Right, as in I know what is the main idea, which is to when it's on Reels, right? What you want to really focus on is that element of changing. The element of change. Right. The reason why Reels does so well is because it changes and changes and changes and changes and changes. You realize that the pictures, the words, the reason why popping up works is because it changes. The reason why it catches your attention because it changes. But you don't want to have a static video where I go right now, like let's say me and Kyle, I'll just go like, okay, so guys, today's 5 tips on growing your followers, and people are just going to scroll past. Right, people are just going to scroll past. Right, in fact, but if I do this, right, and I start with, you know, first one, give value, and people will continue watching it, even though maybe to them it's like, oh, I really heard about this before. They will still watch it because they'll be like, wow, there's this like element of change, which people absolutely love, not only just on TikTok, but on Instagram or Facebook. Do you realize that on Facebook, one of the biggest videos that probably get trended a lot of times on Facebook are compilation videos. Do you realize compilation videos tend to do freaking well, not just on Facebook, on YouTube as well, on Instagram as well. Why? Because people love the element of change. That's one thing I realized. It's not just because it's compilation of the best thing or the funniest thing. No. In fact, I've seen compilations that are so bad, but they still got hundreds and thousands of views. Why? Because there's the element of change. People want short form kind of content. And that's where we're moving towards. I think when it comes to IGTV, right? Okay, there's a huge comparison between IGTV and Reels, because IGTV is something above 1 minute. Now, if you want to do IGTV, it better be something really deep and insightful. It better be something that needs time to explain. If you're going to give me an IGTV where I talk about 5 tips on growing a community, when it can be explained in 10 seconds, I'm not going to watch that crap. Okay, I will tell myself in the face, I will not watch that crap. Right? IGTV is used for really teaching really in-depth concepts and insights that you really want to provide to your audience, but it needs time to explain it. Right? Let's say if I were to talk about positioning, and I really were to go in-depth into positioning consumers, fine. I'm not going to be able to do it in like freaking 5 seconds and go like, okay, positioning. First thing you're going to do is just do this and this and get positioned. No, it's not. Right. Or let's say if you want to do it, if you want to go, like maybe some people want to go into quantum physics and things like that, right? Metaphysics and things like that. Right. It's going to take time to actually explain to your, to your audience. Right. So it's always a good variation to have IGTV and to have IG Reels. Shamefully, it's a shame that I don't have IG Reels. But what you should be doing is combining IGTV sometimes and then having IG Reels. Because sometimes people just want short-form content. Sometimes people want long-form content. The reason why Instagram does well is because there are different modes. Now I'm going to go into the modes, right? First one is just a casual post. A casual post is what most people do, right? You just look through the post. Second one is a video, right? It's 0 to 1 minute, right? And in fact, I'll say Reels will do much better than videos right now. Videos are becoming a bit irrelevant because of IG Reels and IGTV. Okay. IG Reels, like what I say, is to really do bite-sized content because people are sick of very long-form content. Have you seen those kind of videos where you go like, you watch a video and you go like, well, he could have just like stayed in like 10 or 15 seconds. This guy could have explained this concept in a few seconds, but it took so damn long just to explain the concept. Take all those concepts and use it into IG Reels. Okay. And IGTV is when you go deeper in depth into one concept, right? Let's say if I were to talk about giving value, but what exactly am I and how exactly am I going to give value, right? If I have a framework for giving value, which I have, I will go and I will do it in IG, or do it in IGTV. Okay. Moving on, IG Lives. And I think this is one huge thing. Going back on the whole point of connection, right? IG Live is one thing that everyone is, I feel a lot of people are really just missing on this whole portion. Twitter gets you connected to people, but I feel IG Live gets you connected way deeper. Why? Because let's say if I were to hop onto IG Live with Carl, maybe let's say Carl doesn't want to go IG Live, but yes, but since I've invited him, he's just going to come on. Right? If I were to go onto IG Live with him, it's quite similar to me being on the podcast. We really get much more in-depth insight. We get to connect way deeper. We get to really talk about shit that really matters, and we're not talking about superficial things or like we have to, you know, concise all our words into text, right? Because we're able to voice out how we truly feel. We get to voice our opinions. We get to voice our questions, everything through IG Live. And that's actually how I got connected to this freaking big social media marketer who's serving like Fortune 50 companies through IG Live. I just dropped him a DM and saying, hey, you know what? It'll be lovely if you'll be able to. In fact, this is the exact message and probably somewhat similar to what I actually messaged to him. So for those people who are thinking like, how do you connect with influencers? Right, the first thing is just type in and say, hey, the first thing is to actually just take action. Don't think too much into what framework or what format is best in connecting with them or like how do I phrase the word and copy. No, just start off by giving value to them. So first thing I go is like, hey Neil, I realized that your content is pretty darn good and I got this particular concept from your latest book and I left a review on your book and I actually did. I left a review on his book on Amazon as well. Right. And that's the first thing I did in order to connect with him. So I go like, hey, I really love your book. I love this concept. And I actually left a review on Amazon as well for you. Would you be keen on hopping an IG live to share more about this particular concept in your book that I really love, which I think my audience will benefit a lot from it? Okay, do you realize how I literally placed myself in the position of, hey, I kind of have a related thing to you right now, which is I actually read your book and I review a book. And now let's connect on a much more deeper insight to IG live. Right? And he dropped instant value bombs as well. And actually reconnected after that as well. So the whole main point of doing IG live is to really connect people with someone. And let's say, right, for those people who are going to complain to me, and they're probably going to say, oh, Darius, I sent this to like a influencer or like a thought leader in the industry, but he didn't reply me. Follow up. Like most of the time, like people always say in marketing, right, the money is made from the follow-ups, right? Even in retargeting ads, right? People, all those Facebook marketers that like to geek about ads. I'm not huge on ads. I'm totally organic, if you can tell. Those Facebook ads experts always like to say, oh, the money is in the retargeting, which is true as well. In Google as well, in any social media, you know, retargeting, following up is always where the money is at. Same thing to do with influential connections. If you want to connect with the big people in the industry, you better follow up. But you don't just give up on the first day of like, hey, I want to go help on the IG live with you. And then after that, they don't reply and you go like, oh man, he doesn't want to connect with me. Oh man, I suck and things like that. No one's gonna attend your PT party. Okay, no one's gonna attend your PT party. So just follow up with the thought leader or influencer you want to connect. In fact, just drop them a message. Say, hey, I know you're kind of busy and you know, you're going through a lot of DMs and things like that. But is there a particular date where you're free on IG Live? Right, be more specific with the request they're asking for. Do not ever go in and just say like, oh, when are you free? Dude, if they're already damn busy with their lives, when do you think that they'll say that I am free? No, they'll probably say that I'm busy, I'm not free. Right, go with a specific date or time if you want to connect with someone. If you want to hop on a call with them, you want to get some insights from them, you want to steal some of their secrets for whatever thing you want to do, or you want to have collaborations, you want to have JV partnerships, set a specific date, set a specific time. I think one thing, right, is when people also want to ask for IG lives with me or get me hopping onto their podcast, be more specific. But if you want to really connect with someone, be more specific with what you're asking. Don't ever go in and say like, oh, hey, can I get you on my podcast? What podcast? Who am I talking to, right? What's the target audience? Right? I don't want to be talking to people that, you know, aren't interested in digital marketing. And here over here, I'm like a huge geek about like organic marketing and going to community and no one understands. Like, there's no point in doing it, right? So if you really want to connect with people, I'll say that on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever, regardless of the platform, be specific with what you want to be asking about. I really believe that the quality of the questions you ask determine the quality of the life that you choose to lead. Right? If you choose to ask yourself like, oh, why don't I get this? That's a pretty bad question for you to ask yourself, right? What if you ask yourself, what can I do better in the copy which will make him collaborate with me? And then it immediately zooms down to the point that, okay, maybe I can change this, I can change that. Right? But if you ask yourself, like, oh, why didn't I get this? And then you're probably going to end up with a conclusion of, oh, I probably suck, or I probably have very little followers. But the quality of your questions really determine the quality of your life, not just in terms of connecting with people, in terms of you living your own life as well. So I think hopefully that provides a lot of insight into connecting on Instagram itself.
You know, there are a couple of things that you talked about, most specifically that last one, where, you know, you talk about the quality of your questions determine the quality of your life. You know, I don't know how many salespeople or marketing people that I talk to on a regular basis where they have this idea of, I've got to have all of the answers. Like, I've got to be the expert. I've got to be the guru. I've got to tell you how it is. And what I've learned is what you're saying is there's a lot of truth in the quality of the questions determine the quality of your life. It also determines the quality of your sale, the quality of your engagement, the quality of your relationship, because the power really doesn't lie in the answer. The power lies in the question. And can I ask the right question to uncover the right nugget to create that opportunity for value where you can be seen as an expert, where you can determine and bring in additional context that other people didn't have? And when you can ask powerful questions, you can actually control the dynamic in the conversation in a way that you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You just have to be the most inquisitive.
Then, Mike, I totally agree with this whole point of asking the right question. In fact, back then when I started on my podcast, I was pretty darn bad in asking questions, right? And I think, Kyle, you're a pretty great host in asking questions to lead the conversation, right? It keeps the whole conversation flowing and gets my ideas coming out and my tips and advices or whatever secret skill I'm going to apply on IG Reels, which people are going to apply next. So, yeah. The art of asking questions is really one of the art that I think everyone really should master, not just for your clients, not just for your business, but everything that really revolves around your life.
You and I are in complete agreement on that. The other thing that I think is really interesting that I heard you say that really hadn't crystallized with me is the very first marketing class content, whatever you want to call it, that I consumed was an online information marketing consulting group ebook, if you will. It was called Everything You Know About Marketing is Wrong. And it was part of a bigger marketing system called Monopolize Your Marketplace. And the guy who was teaching was Rich Harshaw. So this has been 15, 20 years. And when you think about that, like that person and what they did left a monumental impression. But the stuff that's relevant today is everything I've heard you talk about as it relates to Instagram or Twitter, the way you would use Instagram Reel, the way we use Instagram Live, the way you use IGTV, all of these different elements as you sprinkle them across your, the way you engage, is there's four main concepts that I was, that framed up what we called good marketing or good advertising. And the first thing was interruption, right? So the first step is to get somebody's attention. And once you have their intention, then you want to engage them. Now, it doesn't matter if that's in, sounds like to you, if it's in a personal tweet, like I'm interrupting them by replying to their tweet. And if I engage them, it's because I said something either really clever or on point or added value, right? But the third thing in this step of what he was talking about was education. So, you know, interrupt, engage, and then educate. And when you're educating, to your point, you're actually taking that value of what's in the reel and here's a book and actually saying, okay, well, here, we talked about the five tips, but when we get to how do you really create value and how do you really give value, this is what it looks like and expanding into that, that's the education component. And so much marketing, so much sales today misses the component of education. And yet everything we see across the entire internet is people seeking to educate themselves, right? Hey, I don't want to buy from you until I know that I can trust that I'm buying from you is going to provide value or that there's more there or that I like. And so it's really interesting to me that people try and give just enough engagement to go directly to which is step number four, which is offer. And they skip that entire education component. And it's like, you know, again, the steps that Rich taught were interrupt, engage, educate, and offer. And most people skip educate and go directly from engagement to offer. And then they wonder why people aren't converting or why people aren't engaging or why their community is not growing. It's because they're perceived as somebody who interrupted me just to sell me something. And that's not what I'm looking for. And it sounds to me like that's absolutely been your experience with, you know, how you're deploying social media and how you're leveraging it to grow your grow your tribe, grow your community. Is that, I mean, am I kind of understanding?
Actually, in fact, I'd like to add on a point. I totally agree, first of all. I totally agree with the whole pattern interrupt. There are actually many different ways to pattern interrupt. For those people who are thinking like, oh, you know, in order to pattern interrupt, I have to always go, stop, wait. Okay, listen, give me 30 seconds of time and all. That's like a very common ad thing, like you probably see. Or like another pattern interrupt can be like someone blow an air horn or something like that. Right, so to pattern interrupt, there are a few different ways to actually pattern interrupt after posting like over thousands of content. In fact, I can't even count anymore, right? But there are ways to actually to do a pattern interrupt. There are two ways to actually hook people in. One way is to provide curiosity. To ask a question is to provide curiosity. Now, a lot of people always like to go with the curiosity angle, right? Like, this man is a genius. Read here to find out how, right? Or like, this one question changed his life forever. Or this one question cost him $1 million, right? This is how you create curiosity and things like that. So first one is curiosity. Second one is a pattern interrupt, like what you said. Right? A pattern interrupt can go two ways. Right? I'll just share this with my clients. Right? And two ways is, first way is to go in direct contention with what a person usually thinks. Okay. For example, if people were to say that, you know, marketing is great. And if I say that marketing is the worst thing you can do right now, people are going to go like, wait, what? People are sure going to go like, whoa, 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 what the hell is he saying? Right?
And you'll get 20, like, you'll get 25% of the people that are shaking their head. Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. I hate marketing.
Yes, definitely. And then, so one way is to do direct contention. Now, this is what is very popular and what people will probably use, right? Another way to actually get pattern interrupts is to mess up the order of thinking, okay, which I think that a lot of people aren't using. Okay, what do I mean by messing up the order of thinking? So let's say, right, if I read a book, I will get tons of insights, right? What if I start off a content, I say, you can get insights, right, before you even read the book. And people will be like, wait, isn't it the other way around? You read the book. You see, like, how I'm even stumbling. I'm like, isn't it you read them? And that's what their mind is processing. And that's how you interrupt them as well. So I realized that two times, a lot of people always like to go with the curiosity hook, which is like, do you know how you can do this? Or like, how you can do this without this? Right? The normal marketing hooks is always innating a lot and really pushing up a lot of curiosity. Right? But in fact, I find a lot more useful is a pattern interrupt. Having pattern interrupts, like this direct pattern interrupt. The reason why I call it pattern interrupt, even though curiosity is indeed a pattern interrupt, but I'll say direct pattern interrupts, which really interrupts the pattern in your brain. Because when it comes to curiosity, it goes like, okay, this is one new thing. Like, do you know how you can make $1,000 in 30 days? Something like that, right? These are things that is no longer a pattern interrupt because you've seen it God knows how many times, right? You go onto YouTube and then you see this guy selling you this thing. And then you go on the Facebook, you see this same guy selling it. Like so many times where people are using the same thing. How I got $1 million in 60 days or whatever. It's going on the same thing again and again and again. I'm not talking about ads, right? I'm talking about content even. But if you see content and the content goes like, how I got $1 million in 60 days. Like, yeah, maybe that content is interesting, but after a while, it's going to wear off. And trust me, in the next few years, that hook really will wear off because of how many times people are using it. They're using over and over and over and over again until people become so desensitized to looking at it and they go like, they'll just click. Maybe they'll click and then they won't be engaged at all. But rather than you go with that direct contention, which I think this content works really well when you go direct contention or you go with messing up the order of thinking. Now, let's talk about your interrupt, right? And then talk about engage, which I already talked about before, and education. Now, I think people always have this question, which people, I think, really would have this question on the podcast as well, is that, should I give away my best insights and my best knowledge on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? Won't people like think like, since he really give out all this content, then I don't have to buy from him, I don't have to work with him, right? Because like, that's about it. Now, in fact, right, I will argue with this. Okay, it's not about the whole Gary Vee strategy about, give everything for free. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's back to this whole principle, right? It's the whole average. The law of average. It's really the law of average. Now, the law of average states this, right? That, let's say if I look at Carl, right? And I look at Carl and I know like, he's a digital marketing agency. What kind of businesses he helps, right? He does like the back end kind of things and softwares and things like that, systemizing, right? And connecting the marketing and sales. That's what I know, right? And that's the law of average, right? But the thing is, if let's say on social media, the only thing he plays out is like, we help you do connect marketing and lead, marketing and sales together, and that's about it. I don't really see the results that you get. I don't really see what his methods they use or techniques they use. The only thing I know that is, I know that Carl is just a guy that connect marketing and sales together. That's it. Through the law of average information, the only thing I can find out is that, this guy is doing the same thing as what everyone, some other people are doing. But if I give out my best information, that is how I increase that law of average. Now, then my whole ranking, right, and people always think that, we don't rank people. Now, here's the thing. We rank everyone that we see. We rank everyone that we see. Okay?
100%.
Even when I'm on this podcast right now, those people listening, you're probably ranking like, where's this guest on the ranking list, right? Is he on number one, number two, number three? I just hope I'm not on the last one, which I think I'm better not on the last one, okay? I should be the one talking. But anyways, that's what I wish, right? Now, there's always a ranking that people will always have. Now, the average of loss is this, right? That whatever information you have, you make a perception of whatever that person is. And people always talk about, perceived value, actual value. perceived value, actual value. And they go like, oh, you just have to keep increasing your perceived value, increase your perceived value. But people are thinking like, what in the world, what perceived value and things like that. Like, no, here's the thing, guys. Don't you get so mixed up with perceived value, actual value. If you really think about it, whatever I perceive is indeed the actual value. There is no form in way that you can convince me of my actual value, because my actual value is my perceived value. In psychology wise, right, because I study psychology, in psychology wise, whatever the forms, the thoughts that you form are based on your perception and whatever they gain off. So that is, sorry for the lump. So whatever that I gain off, whatever actual value that I'm thinking of is indeed my perceived value. There's nothing much to really be so confused about your perceived value and actual value. So however people look at you is pretty much whatever they value you as. Now, if you put out mediocre content because you don't want to give out your best stuff, right? And you go like, okay, I don't want to reveal some secret things that I do. I'm just going to put in like some general stuff. Like, oh, okay, the secret to winning on Instagram is to get engagement. Engagement gives growth, right? And like, oh, you will need to put out this content. You need to put out infographics. First, infographics gets you most engagement. And all these very superficial, very shallow strategies and things like that. Very general kind of things. And the more you put out this kind of things, the more people will associate you as being what? A generalist. People will just be like, oh, she's just saying things, the same things that everyone else is saying. Right. And then people start to question themselves. Right. People start to question themselves, oh man, I put out so much content, I put out so much value, but then you know, I don't really have a community. And like, oh man, why do people don't appreciate? Yeah, maybe why don't you actually look at your content? Like, is your content really the same? Yeah, sorry, is your content really different from everyone else? But most likely your content is the same as everyone else. But you're probably talking about like, oh, how to get leads. You need to have a lead generation system. Shit, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. If someone is following you, right, and they're looking for content on lead generation, or maybe connecting leads and sales, right, probably some of the basic strategies is the same thing that probably other people are also doing. Right, or like, let's say if I were to teach people about Instagram and things like that, if I were just to talk about like general Instagram stuff, like, oh, first thing you're going to do is to add value. Second thing is you're going to do is to connect with your people. Right? And I don't talk about the nitty-gritty things. Right? I don't talk about how to actually add value. Maybe one way to really add value is to give infographics. And not just infographics, you give how to infographics. Give why infographics. I give you like the structure of what kind of infographics you can use. People will be like, shit, that's useful. Okay, because he's no longer talking about like, oh, add value, add value, add value. Shit, how many times have I heard add value anymore? It's so freaking boring. Right? It's so freaking boring, like to the whole point. I just hear add value. Right. So if you have the perception of like, oh, I shouldn't give my best value on social media, here's the thing, guys. If you're not giving your best shit on social media now, people are probably gonna see you as a mediocre, at a very mediocre level, and you're gonna be ranked as a mediocre level person, whether it's here, you have a business, whatever business you own, you will be looked at as a mediocre level rather than someone of high value. In fact, that's the reason why so many thought leaders are booming up on social media. You realize the thought leaders are the ones that are booming on social media, they're the ones that are giving the most information out. They're giving out freely. The reason why the power of free works so well is not because of like, oh, you'll be generous. Like, I know Gary Vee, the whole principle is like, oh, be generous, just give out everything because what you give is what you get, right? But I think it's a lot more to them. It's about the whole average, the law of average. It's really the whole law of average, because the perception of people will be based on whatever that they have of you. And if whatever they have of you isn't much, you are not much, guys. You are not much. So you better give everything that you can. Obviously, like, you can't, like, here's the thing, guys. It also doesn't make sense for you to give out everything. There's no way that you can give out everything. You get what I'm saying? Like, you have so much information in your brain, you're not able to give out everything. But what I'm saying is that when you produce a content, it better be your bloody best. It better be your bloody best. So that's all I have to say for the education part, is that stop, you know, withholding back secrets because you think that people will steal. Right? If you think that people will steal, here's the thing, there's tons of copycats in the market. There's tons of people doing maybe something similar to what Kao does. But the reason why people buy you is because of you. They don't buy you because of like, oh, the technique, the basics that you do is like mind-blowingly good. Right? No, they buy you because of you and your brain. Right? That's it. And your 100%. Brain is different from everyone else. Right? So that's what I have to say for education part. And last but not least, offer. I think tons of other people have already been giving offers, so I won't really touch on much of offers.
You know, I think what's beautiful about what you said is that I was thinking, I was like, well, how are we going to wrap this up? What's a great way to kind of end this podcast? But I think you really touched on it with the you know, with the part here about education in giving your best. Like, giving your best goes all the way back to the very beginning, you know, and you brought us full circle here, Darius, which is why I called you DT. I mean, you've got high energy and you've had success, but there's a DT truth bomb in here, which started with, you know, engage, be human, be personable. And if you're hiding the best part of you when it comes to how you're educating and what you're giving away in your content, then who's really getting to know the real you? And at the end of the day, if marketing and sales and transactions happen human to human, what are you really gaining for you, your person, you, your business, or, you know, what you want out of life if you're hiding the best parts and not making them freely a part of what you give? So I appreciate you bringing this full circle on that. Any final thoughts from you? We do need to wrap up. So anything else you could think of? You're like, hey man, there's one more truth bomb you got to take with you. One more DT dominator, DT technique, whatever you want to call it.
DT dominator. Wow, I like the sound. Okay. Here's one DT dominator. Okay, let me think for 10 seconds. Give me a 10 second short window. After consolidating Wi-Fi thought. Okay, let's review back. Okay, so we talk about, we come on the whole Twitter thing, right? How to connect with people, how to engage with them, how to get into their DMs, how to actually connect with them, or maybe if you want to sell to them. And then we move on to Instagram, what kind of mediums and modes that you have to use, right? And how you should actually be using them, and like, what's the best way to actually achieve that? Okay, and then we talk about education. So why not just end off with a last DP truth bomb of sales, of offer, right? And I know that probably a lot of people have a lot of preconceptions of how offers should be or how sales should be like, right? Now, what I really realized is that true on the whole social media platform itself, if you really want to get sales, the best way to do it isn't to just call up from your audience like, hey, I'm having this. Do you want this or not? You can just grab it on my link and things like that. Sales work the best when it's in the DMs. Sales works the best in the DMs. In fact, highest conversion sales also works best in the DMs. If you're selling a high ticket product, sell it in the DMs. If you're selling a low ticket product, sell it in the link. Okay, so this is my biggest tip for, I think, most people who are thinking of like, on Instagram or Twitter, how should I sell? Because a lot of people like put the link and then it's a sales page and things like that, and they just want to sell something. Now, if you're selling a high ticket product, I'll say as long as it's more than $97, do it in the DMs. Or more than $497, do it in the DMs. Okay, everything else, as long as it's a low ticket product, just do it in the links. And then for people who are really going to social media, and right now, this is really one thing I really have to say, because I think so many people screw this up. Okay, because they listen to too much of Gary Vee, and then they go like, okay, I'm going to go onto every platform right now, and I'm going to like execute on all platforms. Guys, you're not going to achieve that. That's the frank truth. After me going through Twitter and then going through on Instagram and me flopping so badly on Instagram, in 6 months, guys, I think I never really emphasized on this, but in 6 months, I produced more content than the number of followers I got. That's how embarrassing it was. And I was focusing on that one platform. Okay, so I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to underestimate your abilities and skills, but I'm saying that it took me a few hours a day, 4 to 5 hours a day, just to grow that community on Twitter, and then focus my time and energy and my resources, and spending over 5 figures to test and things like that and learn from other people, right? 4 to 5 hours a day just to grow that community. So pick a platform which your target audience is on. Okay, don't just pick a platform which you're best at. Okay, it doesn't mean you're best at Pinterest, you go on Pinterest when maybe none of your audience is on Pinterest. Pick the platform which your target audience is at. Don't make the same mistake as me as not having the end in mind. Make sure you know why you're on the platform for, and make sure that your audience is on the platform. And I think that if you want more information about, like, you know, social media tips and tricks and a lot of analytics and strategies, in fact, y'all can head over to the Live Your Legacy podcast, right? You can search on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, Spotify as well. I do a technical training every single week, and I'm giving out strategies that you can implement on your social media for your business without spending a dime on ads at all, because I do not spend anything on ads. So yeah, I think that's a huge wrap up for whatever that we just said.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Darius. For people that want to get a hold of you, it's Darius Tan. You can search for him on Twitter. You can find him on the Live Your Legacy podcast, like he said, on Apple, as well as, I believe you have an Instagram and a Twitter page for both of those as well.
Yes, correct. I have it on Twitter. So if you find Twitter, you find Instagram, you just search for Live Your Legacy, you'll find my handle.
That's awesome. And we'll drop the links in the description of the podcast as well as on the blog. It's been our pleasure to have you. Been a great interview, great conversation. Thank you so much, Darius, for being here and dropping your DT bombs for DT domination across the world. This has been your week's episode of Summit Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, whatever whatever your jam is. But either way, we're here giving truth, insights, and stuff that you can use, not just stuff to bore you to death. Thanks again for being here, Darius.
Thank you so much for being an excellent host on this show.